Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Tyler Cupp, broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road with Straight Talk.
Selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of our Straight Talk program. Straight Talk broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. With us today is Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Also with us today is Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, with me today is someone that I think I've only interviewed maybe one or two other times, but it's always a delight. I see her all over places when I'm covering news events. She is Courtney Denton with the Lifehouse, and we have got a lot to talk about. Got a big event coming up in 2 weeks, but we're going to talk about a lot of things affecting the people that you see and care for day in and day out. So, Courtney Denton, you know the drill. You're a cagey veteran of this program. Let's talk a little bit about you. Tell me and tell the listeners about Courtney Denton.
Well, it's great to be back on air with you. Always enjoy the opportunity. Thank you for that. I'm Courtney Denton. I serve as the executive director of the Lifehouse. And in that role of serving, we seek to provide help and hope to unhoused women and children in this community. We have moved away from the word homeless women and children to unhoused women and children because we believe it's important that we humanize homelessness and we take some of the stigma and the myth that's around the word homeless away. So we are serving women essentially here in this community who do not have a place to be able to call their own, a home to call their own. We're serving to provide basic needs, safe shelter, warm meals, access to laundry and shower services, fellowship, and case management. It's our desire to help women when they come into a place that many of them, A, never expected to be, and B, aren't really wanting to stay for long, to help them be able to assess where are they, what do they need, and how can we help them move towards self-sufficiency. Really grateful for the opportunity now, almost 6 years we've been in this community as the Lifehouse, to bring help and hope to women and children, and we're doing that every day.
So there's a lot of different directions we can go here. I think where I'd like to start, because we're going to talk all about the event that you have coming up. It is your Power of the Purse coming up in 2 weeks on September the 12th. The Lifehouse Power of the Purse, the gathering space, Main Street from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Again, we'll get into that in just a bit and talk all about that event. But I want to talk about where we were at this time last year and where we are now in terms of the numbers that you're seeing. I know you're part of a lot of coalitions. We'll get to affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We'll get to some other issues that is facing Rock Hill and the folks that you deal with. So where are our numbers as you see it right now from last year to this year?
Sure. So we at the Lifehouse, we sleep 60 women and 10 children every night in one of our three emergency shelter locations. That number has been what it has been now for several years as we have these locations to be able to serve single women, women with children in those locations. And we keep pretty steady at the 60 women and 10 children. What has happened since last summer is that we've been able to grow our housing extensions through transitional housing and permanent housing partnerships. So we're putting more people into housing, which allows us to obviously shelter more women. I think the reality of where we are this summer compared to last summer. Last summer, our wait list was hovering around 42 women, which is still more than obviously you would want it to be. Our wait list right now has 84 women and 157 children on it.
Okay, hold on. Say that again. Your wait list again?
Our wait list right now, as of today, has 84 women and 157 children on it.
Man, that just 157 children.
And so then you might ask, well, if they're not at the shelter because they're waiting, where are they? And I think this is the reality that's important to keep in front of our community. These women are sleeping in their cars. They're sleeping in some type of maybe abandoned building, or they're sleeping on someone's couch, or they're hotel hopping. They're not sleeping in a stable, consistent environment. And that is a pain point for someone who wants so badly to be able to offer as many beds as we possibly can to as many people that need them. I think what is a misperception along this line is that it is often said to me, well, we have people who are bused here from other places. The reality is when you look at that wait list, that nearly 85% of the women that are on that wait list are from York County.
Oh.
These are not people that are calling in from other parts of the state. We get those calls. We have that, but we have a prioritization wait list that we work off of, and our top priority is to serve women who are from York County, and then we prioritize women who are pregnant. We just got a call this last week of a woman who just gave birth from at Piedmont Medical Center who needs a safe place in her discharge. She has a newborn baby, obviously, and she has nowhere to go. She's from this county, but she has no support system and no next step. And so those calls come in readily. And I think it's helpful for us as a community to just be aware of the fact that obviously housing market is increasing. It stabilized a little bit from where it was, but there's still a significant increase in the price of housing, whether you're buying or you're renting. And inflation, everything costs more. You don't eat lunch out anymore for less than $15. You just don't. And so then you go to buy groceries and everything costs more when it comes to purchasing groceries. And everybody experiences that. It's just that when you're on a limited income and you're taking care of yourself and maybe two children or three children, and you don't have that benefit of a dual income household, everything is so tight. And one expense that's kind of off of the normal spreadsheet can be the difference in someone being able to stay housed and no longer being housed. And that's what we're seeing.
We're going to get to affordable housing, but let's get to something that is affecting these folks that you try to help. And it is a story that we covered multiple times in different ways. And I don't know if Manning has had any guests here lately to talk about the fallout. I know that I haven't spoken to anyone until today about MyRide and how MyRide was discontinued. It was something with the parts that that's they right. couldn't get from Greenville.
Yep.
I think that company went bankrupt or something
right.
like that.
Yep.
Okay,
uh-huh.
So I had that right.
Yep.
And MyRide got discontinued. So that was the free bus service that mm-hmm. went through Rock Hill, different stops, mm-hmm. and it helped a lot of our homeless population get back on their feet because they were getting to jobs and getting yeah. to places they need to go. You know, so you said that there has been a major fallout from this, from, you know, people that you try to help that no longer have that service.
Yeah, so when you're serving individuals who are facing crisis, and obviously housing is a big part of that crisis, what you find, and I've shared this before, is we call it the three domino down, right? You mm-hmm. lose a job, you lose a spouse, you have a medical setback, something happens, and then you get to the third domino, and the third domino often impacts your housing. The second domino that might fall, though, is your transportation domino, because you might get rid of your car before you get rid of your house. And so in our community, as we're serving women and children who are coming to us and we're assessing these needs, many of the women that we're serving don't have transportation. They might have had transportation, but they now have sold that off to be able to have income for their family. So transportation is a big deal for the women that we're helping. And transportation is essential for all of us. What I think I know I've taken for granted, when you have a vehicle that is just readily accessible, it's sitting in your driveway, and you think, oh, I need to go to the store. Or, oh, on my way home from work, I'm going to stop by CVS and pick up these toiletry items. When you don't have a car, that now becomes an extra trip. That becomes a dependent situation for somebody else to help you with. And so what the city bus allowed for was really an elimination of some of the barriers that are up against people in our community who don't have transportation. That barrier may be as simple as getting to a grocery store, getting to CVS to pick up toiletries. In our case, we have 15 women every day who are riding, and we're riding the city bus to get to work and to be able to get their kids to daycare. When you don't have the city bus running route anymore, not only do they not have access to their own places of interest, they don't have access to essential opportunities, which is employment. And so they're literally at the mercy of someone else getting them to and from work. So we are now, though we're not a transportation service provider, we're now in a space of having to think through even more intentionally the lens of how do we get 15 women every day, to and from work, to and from daycare. And so we are leaning on our staff more heavily to help run our vans to do that. We're leaning on volunteers much more heavily to help us do that. And we're using our own resources to fund Ubers and Lyfts when we just simply can't. What we don't want is for a woman to lose her job because she can't get there. Because that sets her back even more. And this has been what has happened. The fallout has been that we've had women lose their jobs. We've had women who have interviewed for jobs that we're helping. When the question is asked, do you have reliable transportation? And you tell them that the transportation that I have is dependent upon someone else picking me up, it's no longer reliable. So we have women who have not even gotten jobs because we don't have that. Now, what we do have, thanks to the senior care transportation service, we have My Access, which is a helpful Rock Hills Access vans that are helping to transport folks. They've been doing this for a while with the senior citizens, getting them different appointments. And they're still offering that service, and we're using that service, and the York County Access.
Okay, I was just about to say that there's a York County service.
That's right.
We were a little cloudy on it because I think at one point it was all online that you had to reserve it, and obviously
You had to call in. Now they're moving to an app platform that they're testing out where you can actually schedule your own rides. Mm. Right now, you have to call in to schedule your rides. The difference in York County Access and the city bus was a fixed route system. So you knew exactly what time that bus was going to be at that stop. And you had an app to see where the bus was in transit. York County Access is a demand response system. So it's you're calling to request a ride. The ride availability is based off of demand and route. And you don't necessarily get to see where those buses are. And so there's not an app right yet to be able to look at. Now, they're working on that. The other side of that is that this is a service provider that has said yes to helping fill a gap. But you can imagine that they're burdened and they're overwhelmed, sometimes understaffed and under-resourced in a way of being able to offer this as consistently as you would with a fixed route system. So we have certainly experienced the fallout of not having a free fixed route system in this community. And I think what we need to think about as a community is what are all the opportunities that we can give to the people of this wonderful city that we live in to be able to help advance economic mobility, to be able to advance self-sufficiency, to be able to advance opportunities for people that are giving and contributing right back in this community. I mean, many of the women that we serve are in retail, restaurant, tourism industry. They're helping to make Rock Hill even more significant by what they're doing. If you were to go to any bank or retail, whether it's a restaurant or whether it's a store right here on one of our main roads, chances are you might be intersecting with one of the women that we're helping. And yet we need them there, but we're not able to help them get there. And so we're trying to figure out creative solutions for both housing and now transportation, which has been a little bit of a pull on us as a service provider.
Well, let's talk housing. I watched a little bit of a York County workshop with people discussing workforce housing. It sounds like you're aware of this.
Yeah.
I was watching a little bit of it, and it was interesting, the response and questions that were coming out of that. You know, it didn't seem like the numbers were quite adding up to what they wanted, and I'm talking like council. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking as council. They were trying to get the numbers down to, I think they said 275 at one point is what they would like to see. But when it comes to affordable housing, where are we at right now? What's kind of the thing that you guys and your coalitions that you're currently a part of that you guys are working towards right now?
Yeah. So County of Government, COG, is working on York County. They're working on a workforce housing study. They've done the research. They have polled people. They have pulled that data together, and they're presenting it now, actually. It's going live with the presentation of that. I think in one regard, it doesn't reveal things that we didn't already know. But it certainly has expanded upon some of the thoughts around things that are helpful for us to have a greater sense of knowledge of what's happening here. The biggest thing is that we are seeing people move to our county, which is a win. And as people are moving here, it is also displacing people who have always lived here. It's a supply and demand economic, right? I mean, it's just, and so when you have people who, where there's growth in any county, there's also challenge. And what the challenge that we're facing is we don't have housing to match the wage earnings of 60% of our county. And so when 60% of your county makes less than $27 an hour, and yet your housing prices are significantly above that mark of income rate that is affordable, you have a deficiency.
Yeah.
So our deficiency is growing, in part because some of our housing pool is being picked up, obviously, by others who are moving into the area and who can afford that. But there's certainly people who are living here who just can't afford.
Well, Courtney, you alluded to it, and we're talking with Courtney Denton, the executive director of the Lifehouse Women's Shelter. I mean, there are people that pay rent in Rock Hill, and I don't know how they pay what they pay. How are you, Councilman John Black? I don't know how they pay what they pay.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate to pay what I pay for rent. I've been unable to find affordable housing, you know, and I have a stable full-time job.
Yep.
And it is a fear of mine for other people that try to move here and get a good job. I see these housing prices in downtown. And again, I'm not critiquing at all. There's a reason it is what it is because of the rate. They're obviously getting it. But $1,800, $1,900
right.
for rent?
Yeah. So your HUD, your Housing and Urban Development, for our city, has defined an affordable rent rate for a two-bedroom apartment at $1,550 a month. $1,550 a month. In order to be able to afford $1,550 a month, you've got to make more than $26 an hour.
Yeah.
And then you have to carry that into your expense column to determine what degree of expenses do you have. You've got to make significantly more than $26 an hour if you have kids. You have a child in daycare, if you have a car, if you have car insurance, you know, you start adding all the other expenses to that number. And so that's our challenge. There is a deficiency in the amount of housing, the scalability of affordable housing. And until we have more housing that is affordable at the rate in which we have income for people who are working here, we will continue to see the need for shelter stay, because where do we go? What happens? What helps to fill that gap? Now, the flip side and the good side of this is that as we are working in this space of affordable housing, we do have a housing coalition that's been established here. We're working to try to create housing solutions by partnering with different property owners and land developers. Mm. We're considering ways of being able to bring the market rate down. Obviously, some of our partners just are very benevolent and generous in the way that they're thinking about how they can help steward the resources they have to do that. So an example of that is we work with a property owner here in this community. He has a townhouse development. There's six units. He's just mission-minded. He has a focus towards doing things that give back to the community. A three-bedroom townhouse, that market rate right now is about $2,200. He's offering that at a significantly reduced rate to us at the Lifehouse for us to be able to vet the women that we're helping and place them into housing. And we're doing that with our own housing case management. So we're working alongside these women. So our extension of care has extended beyond the shelter. We now, as of today, have helped 142 women move into housing in this community through our transitional housing program and our housing partnership initiative that we have. 140 women are now housed as a result of these efforts. So we are making some progress. I think when you take the total number of count that we have in this community for homeless families, there's about 1,800 families that are displaced right now who are in need of housing, and that's countywide. So that's a solvable problem. We just have to get strategic with how we do it. And the coalition is seeking to go about trying to think through this space of taking 140 people housed, obviously multiplying that times, you know, significantly more, and the scalability of opportunity we hope will be there to help really satisfy some of this growing need.
Wow. Well, that's a good segue for our mid-program break. I want to tell you that Straight Talk is broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Also with us today is Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Well, at Substation 2, they make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week, but how do they do it? On the count of three, Courtney, you've done this before. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back with more.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Founders can help you stop worrying about high-interest credit cards and loans. Now through September 30th, well-qualified borrowers can take advantage of a balance transfer at 0% APR for 12 months. Pause the interest on your high-rate balances. Upon expiration, APR will then revert to the standard variable APR, currently 12.5% to 17.9%. If credit criteria are not met, 17.9% APR will apply. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Most pests hide in the shadows, just out of sight. But even as they go unnoticed, they can still put our health at risk, often drawn to food, moisture, and clutter. Pests can spread dangerous bacteria, trigger allergies, and also transmit diseases. In our homes, our workplaces, and even outdoors, pests are a serious health and safety threat. Knowing what to look for can help protect your health. Learn more at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here, Substation 2, Straight Talk, broadcast live here, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at andersongriggs.com. All right, final eight or so minutes of the program. I want to talk about not just your event that you have coming up in 2 weeks, but you talked about all of these issues that you are facing. And obviously you guys are based on, I don't know if I would use the word primarily, but people giving, whether it be materials or, monetary donations. So people are hearing this. How can they contribute to help this need and this problem that we have, and the work that you guys do?
Absolutely. Well, we are a community organization that's seeking to take care of our community, but we could not do this without community support. Mm-hmm. We're 5.5 years in, almost 6 in December, and if it had not been for the generosity of this community, we would not be able to do what we do. Every single day, we're funded by the dollar that people in this community give to make this possible. When you look at just who we've served just in this last 6 months of the year, our impact numbers, we've served more than 150 women. We've served more than 25 children. We've helped 30 women find jobs. We've helped 22 women move into housing. All of that is made possible because people are giving. And giving goes a long way. Sometimes people say, I only have $25 a month to give. $25 a month is essential. It's beneficial. It's helping someone be able to do something that otherwise they wouldn't be able to do. We're able to offset the expense and cost of people being able to stay in safe shelter and have access to basic needs so that they can save money to get back on their feet and to be able to move forward. Power of the Purse, the event that we have coming up on September 12th, really highlights women investing in women. And I think that there's a real opportunity for us as we consider what's in our purse, what time, what talent, what treasure do we have in what we've been given to bring to the Lifehouse to help make a difference? We have volunteers who bring meals every night of the week. We have volunteers that help with transportation, as I mentioned. If you're retired and you like to get up early in the morning, we have a van with women that need you to be able to help get them around town. If you're in the afternoon and you have time and you want to help get women back to the shelter after they've been working, we need volunteers to help with transportation. If you are someone who has a car that you're not using and you want to donate to someone at the Lifehouse to be able to have transportation. We've had two people offer their cars recently in light of not having a city bus, and we're putting women in cars that otherwise wouldn't be able to get to work. So we are highlighting some of those stories. The small stories of impact are just as significant as the big stories of impact. And so at the Power of the Purse, it's a celebration of the impact of women giving, the generosity. Women are significant givers. When you look at just trends in fundraising and statistics in fundraising, there really is power in women giving. And we want to highlight just how powerful the gift is of a woman who has given something. In one case, a woman gave 24 flowers to women at the Lifehouse by putting them on her bed. What that did for our women was help them to feel seen and heard and known and loved. And sometimes that's all we need in life, is just to know that there's somebody in our corner. So it's not the size of the gift, it's the intention of the gift. And we want to highlight that at Power of the Purse on September the 12th from 10 to 12 at the Gathering Space, which is just right behind the counter. Tickets are available for sale. It's $100 for a ticket. Sponsorships are available. We're so thankful for the sponsors who have said yes to helping us host this event. And obviously the funding from this event is helping to bring more women and children into our organization to be able to receive the help and hope that they need to get back on their feet.
And the Power of the Purse, to go into slightly more detail, brunch, boutique, shopping, silent auction, a lot going on there.
Lots of fun.
All
the things that women love, right? So come ready to shop. We have purses that will be on auction. You're not just looking for a purse to find discount. You're looking for a purse to make a difference. And so everything that you're doing around this event is geared toward investing in the life of a woman and child in this community who needs the support of others helping.
Now, is this a first-time event? Have you done this before?
We've done this event before, different purpose. We've done it before once in the community. And we have an annual fall fundraiser. We've changed it up every year. But this year, we really just wanted to highlight and showcase just the extension of generosity and the reach of generosity and how it really does make a difference in someone's life.
You know, we got a couple minutes here. What's the biggest misconception people may have about someone that has a job, doesn't have a place to live? I mean, I think biggest misconception is that people don't realize how many kids have parents that don't have a home.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that, it just breaks my heart. I mean, I just can't fathom that, a kid not having a home to go to.
Yeah, I think a lot of times what we see of the homeless population is typically representative of the chronically homeless. Many of them have been affected by substance abuse and mental health. There's generational poverty at play there. What we don't often see is those that are affected by situational homeless. We were just talking about the fact that, you know, someone who has a good job that finds out from their landlord that they're 2 months facing basically the sale of that property. The landlord comes and says, "We're selling." That person then has to really figure out, okay, what's next for me? And you're hoping you can find something that's obviously comparable to what you were paying. Mm-hmm. When you can't find something, guess what? You're calling the Lifehouse.
Yeah.
And so I want to help bring a face to the women that we're serving that really gives people the perspective. If you are going to the bank and you're getting money from a teller, you might be seeing someone who's been served by the Lifehouse.
Wow.
If you go to your tax office and you're helped by a paralegal, you might be seeing the face of someone who we've helped at the Lifehouse. If you have students in the Rock Hill School District, your teacher might have been served by the Lifehouse. These are real stories of real people that we have helped in all different sectors. And to think about these women who are working hard and obviously trying to do everything they can to help make a difference for their family, but they just simply don't have enough. And something happens that says, oh, you're going to be without a house in the next 4 weeks or 8 weeks. That's who we're serving. And our community is better because of the women that we're helping. So your part of helping them is making sure we have a place for everyone in this community to be able to live.
Well, what a way to end. Courtney Denton, doing great work. Thank you so much. Executive Director of the Lifehouse. Power of the Purse, September the 12th at the Gathering Space on Main Street in Rock Hill. You'll hear more about this next week on Calendar Mornings and on the news. We are at Substation 2, live for Straight Talk, and they make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. I'll count this time. How do they do it? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Manning will be back tomorrow. Bye.